Hello, class. Today I am very happy to be joined by a wonderful attorney and advocate, and I am going to ask her to introduce herself in just a moment. However, I just want to give you a little snippet here at the beginning to let you know that this information that we will discuss today is not intended to be legal advice that any legal counsel that you might seek in your position as a special educator would be provided by your district. And this is solely intended for informational purposes as it pertains to the purposes of discussion in this course, disability law and ethics. So, Eleanor, please introduce yourself. I love that, Eleanor, and I appreciate the rest of all of what you do, because in our class we're talking about special protections for individuals, so it's really timely that you mentioned that. And so one of the questions I had was, in thinking about your experience, how you would describe maybe some common mistakes you might see in schools with regard to special education law and ethics. I love that, Eleanor. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was thinking about how you practice everything that you're saying right now to the students. And I so appreciate that because those are really common challenges for special educators, the accommodations and modifications, making sure like communicating that IEP, including the para, and thinking about the family. That is critical, right? And understanding that, you know, and we've been in meetings where it's a very large meeting. It's very intimidating for everyone, really. It's not just the family, but even our beginning special educators. I remember being that beginning special educator where I was thinking, oh no, you know, it's intimidating. It can be a real challenge to you know, present your results and all of those things. So I appreciate those pieces of your experience because it's only going to help us. And so when you think about that meeting, and we've been in some, right? You know, what we have been in a bunch. And that's why I thought of you. But I was thinking about how would you describe a great meeting? What would be some of the pieces that you walk away and you say, wow, that was a great meeting? And, you know, and then conversely, what would a not so great meeting be? Yeah. Thank you. I don't even realize I'm saying that. But I think that anytime we can put ourselves in the shoes of the family and say, you know, I learned a long time ago from a principal actually that said, you know, the child in front of you is someone's whole world. And when you can think like that and put yourself in that role, then it becomes, you know, the challenges sometimes are the parents' anger with the situation or just kind of upset about being in that situation. So just hearing them, I think, is critical. Yeah. Good. Yeah. and build the relationship, right? You know, oftentimes I think about some of the meetings I've been in where, you know, that might happen, where usually if a parent is inviting an attorney, someone like you, to a meeting, something has broken down, whether that's the communication, the expectation, something's wrong. And so, you know, it's our duty to work together to try to get it right again. And so the special educator being part of that is really critical, because they can just kind of be that in between and with the student, you know, making sure that the parent knows that that special educator is advocating for the student. That was one of the questions that I wondered about ethically, you know, when, because we as special educators want to advocate for our students, but we're also school employees as well. So it's challenging, right? But, you know, what are your thoughts on that, on ethical responsibilities for special education teachers when it comes to advocacy for their students and, you know, doing what's right by students? Well, I was just going to say, I love that part about see something, say something. And you know, the other, what I was thinking about as you were talking about it was, you know, as a lifelong special educator and now an administrator, I think about as an administrator, I'd rather a special educator come to me and say, I have, you know, this concern about a student, what do you think, than to not say something and let it continue. So I agree wholeheartedly that, you know, having that opportunity, whether it be a teacher in the building, sometimes there are lead teachers or your building principal, or, you know, in some way going to that person saying, you know, I'm really concerned about the student's learning or something that I'm seeing that seems challenging for them. It's much better to do that than to let it fester and then potentially boil over with a major challenge later on. Right. I mean, I don't know. And we're not going to catch everything, but, you know, maybe, you know, I love that part about, you know, really thinking about training too, about understanding what the disabilities may manifest as in a child, especially our younger learners, because sometimes you'll see those kinds of things. So you've spoken about parents. I'm wondering about, in your opinion, what are some best practices for communication with parents of students with disabilities, especially about their rights for due process and the whole overall IEP process? Yes. You know, I wonder. It so is, and CTSEDS is our IEP management system, and in Rhode Island there are various ways that, you know, in a previous district I was in, it was Aspen, it was TyNet. There were various ways, but I love that point, Eleanor, because I think that, you know, and you mentioned it earlier about the time period, right? We have this infinite, not infinite, a finite amount of time. Sometimes we only have, you know, this much time, and to get through the IEP, you know, one of the challenges I see is, like, I'll see individuals reading right off the IEP. No one can hold that understanding for so long, you know, and I think it's really important to, as you know, we know, stay student-centered, but also conversational in that, so that families understand, to your point, that, oh, these are the goals we're measuring. This is what instruction looks like. And it's not this abstract document to them, you know, and so that understanding is paramount. And I just think that families maybe can't, and I don't think I could, absorb all that information all at once. So, you know, I absolutely agree that that's something that we certainly can work on as special educators. And in that open communication, one of the things that I would recommend too, as a special educator and working with various attorneys and educational advocates over the years, is documentation of, you know, what you're doing, right? And just like the parents, I have some families that come in with binders and they are very organized and they have all of the, you know, all of their child's items there. And that's great because then you have a starting point for the conversation. And then other families that don't have that ability right at that moment to do that. And so that's where people like you come in, or the special educator, to help them and say, you know, what is it here that, you know, you need help with, or how can I help you understand this, or, you know, what would you suggest? What do you think about what's happening? Because parents really are the first teachers of their children, and they want what's, I haven't met one parent, I can say, that does not want what's best for their child. So. Right. Right. No. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, as we're kind of heading into the last, we've got about 5 minutes or so, I wanted to kind of think about and get your ideas about some tips or strategies you can suggest for beginning special educators in practice, or about to be in practice, with regard to law and ethics as they kind of start off on this process and navigating this all. You're making my day today. I appreciate that. Yeah, that you would have that. Yeah. I mean, you know what? I think about this, Eleanor. When I first started out as a special educator, I had an administrator who was visible, who I could go to, who, asked questions, who visited my classroom. So that comes from, just learning, like, kind of from someone else. Like, you had, like, an administrator who was responsive like that. So you try to do that, right? And just like our special educators, when you get into the field, you want to seek out others, like you said, like who's around that I can emulate, that I can take, what's good from their practice and make it like my own little twist on it. And that comes with time. So, a lot of times you're not going to know all of those pieces when you're first starting out. And to your point, we need special educators because it's, we're facing such shortages, but that is so important. Seeking your people, knowing who to go to in the district, making sure you're matching with a district that has those same ideals. You're going to be better off if you can do that, for sure. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yes, and I would tell you that I didn't even realize until I did that you were actually an attorney because you have such an advocacy lens and manner that the way you discuss things and the way you act in meetings, it's just incredible. And I'm so thankful to have that ability to interact with you and help families. It's incredibly important. And I so agree that if you think about the team's goal is to get that student what they need, and you can just kind of put aside some things and remember to assume positive intentions. It's incredibly important. But again, not everyone necessarily acts like that or thinks like that. So I guess the first thing is to not panic if that's what happened. You have an attorney. It's going to be okay. And then to seek support of your administrators at the table, for sure. For sure. So, Eleanor, I thank you so much for joining us today and giving your insight and opinion on just some, topics here in disability law and ethics. Our class is a great class of individuals with all different levels of experience, and I know they're going to be great special educators when the time comes for sure. So thank you again. Yes. It is an important role. Thank you again so much.